Welcome to the This is Mental Wellness podcast. I'm your host, Cassie Woods. Let's dive into today's episode. What's up? Okay, so this is part two of this three-part series on motivation. In part one, we really defined what motivation is, and I walked you through a process of really thinking about this for yourself and asking a couple of questions so that you have a really solid idea of what the feeling that you're looking for really truly is for you when you're saying, I want to feel more motivated or I need more motivation to achieve X, Y, and Z. So if you didn't listen to that one, go back and listen to part one. And today, what we're going to talk about is how motivation actually happens in the brain and in the body. And I am so pumped to dive into this with you today. So on the first episode of this series, I kind of walked through what I think of. When I think of motivation, what's that feeling that I'm looking for? And I defined motivation as calm, actionable energy with a focused mood. That's motivation. So actionable energy with calm and focused mood is what I'm looking for when I am wanting motivation. Now, I know this partially because I've experienced that type of motivation. So I know what that feels like in my body. And maybe you, especially when we dive into how motivation actually happens in the brain and the body, you may be thinking, wow, Cassie, I've actually never experienced that feeling of actionable energy with a calm and focused mood. Really, when I'm in a place of motivation, it does feel a little more jittery. It does feel a little more amped up. And you, you know, maybe haven't experienced that feeling, or it's been a while since you've experienced it. Because really what you're doing now to kind of get yourself the motivation to go and do the things is maybe stimulant induced, right? So copious amounts of caffeine, or, you know, putting a lot of pressure on yourself, or kind of like, this is, I'm a professional at this one, so maybe you are as well, procrastinating until the point of a deadline. And so then you get that surge of adrenaline to really give you the motivation to go and do the thing. Okay. And so maybe when I'm saying actionable energy with a calm and focused mood, you don't even necessarily know what that would feel like in your body. And then we're going to walk through what that looks like and really how motivation happens in your brain and body. And this may connect some dots for you, okay? I do want to preface this before we dive in that I am not a scientist or a doctor, but I am a health nut and I am a lifelong learner and a researcher. And I am committed to understanding my body so that I can get the most out of it respectfully. So I can really show up with big energy, with vibrancy from the inside out, not at the expense of my adrenals or my hormones, or, you know, kind of putting my health on the back burner and really pushing through and showing up and doing the things. And I really figured out, you know, several years ago that that was something that was important to me to, you know, have a high level of mental health and mental wellness and not experience burnout or anxiety or bouts of depression or any of these kinds of things that I had experienced, you know, earlier on in my life before I really learned how to understand my body and how to take care of it. And so that's the place that I'm coming from. So this isn't medical advice. I would always encourage you, you know, to do your own research and really dig in and ask some of these questions for yourself. But let's go ahead and dive in. Okay, so how motivation happens in the brain and in the body, what we're going to do is talk about a couple of hormones and neurotransmitters that are responsible for that feeling that I described that we call motivation, okay? So again, the way that I define this is calm, and focused, actionable energy. That's what motivation feels like for me. Okay, so the first neurotransmitter that we're going to kind of dive into is dopamine. And you've probably heard of this neurotransmitter. I guarantee you know what it feels like in your body. But this is something that your body makes and your nervous system uses it to send messages. So this is one of many chemical messengers that are in the body. So we have these chemical messengers that travel throughout all of these different communication pathways, one of them being the nervous system, and communicate between the different systems in our body. Okay. So dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter, is produced in the brain by converting amino acids two different times into a neurotransmitter. Okay. So it starts off as an amino acid and then is converted and then turns into a neurotransmitter and then is now this chemical messenger that your brain and your body and your nervous system can use to communicate. It's really cool when you think about how our bodies work and, you know, just how we're created. Okay. And here's where it gets even cooler. And this is where it gets a little weird when you start digging into this and understanding how much of our behavior, right? How many of these chemical messengers that are floating around in our body and going between our central nervous system, our enteric nervous system, our vagus nerve, like all of these different pathways in our body are not just made by our brain. Okay. So some dopamine is made by our brain through, what I talked about of converting amino acids into that neurotransmitter. And about 50% of the dopamine that is found in our body is actually produced by our gut by specific strains of bacteria. Yes, you heard that correctly. Okay. So you have bacteria in your gut that creates and produces different chemical messengers, different signaling molecules. And one of those is dopamine. So you've got your brain producing dopamine and your gut producing dopamine. So when you're talking about motivation, our brain and really thinking about brain health and what keeps our brain sharp and our brain healthy and all of these kinds of things is very, very important. But also when you're talking about motivation, 50% of the dopamine that's created is created by your gut microbiome. So it's very important to think about your overall gut health and what's going on, you know, and what types of bacteria that you have and just like what's the health of your gut if you are wanting to think about, you know, dopamine and motivation and kind of like how your brain is functioning, okay? So dopamine is regarded as a main regulator, right? It's one of these things that really plays a big role in our cognitive functions. So this is things like decision-making, being able to pay attention and focus, memory, short-term memory, motivation, reward, and it's a part of our reward and pleasure system. Okay, so it helps us to feel pleasure, helps us to experience that feeling of pleasure, and it has a reinforcing effect. Okay, so it reinforces, it kind of drives us to continue or to come back to whatever the habit or the thing was that caused us to have that spike in dopamine. So food is a large way that dopamine can be created. We can get like a little surge of dopamine in our brain. Okay, so if we eat a cookie, there is a little surge of dopamine that's going to come from eating that cookie. And what can end up happening is there is this reinforcement process that's going to happen that's going to make you maybe want to come back and have another one, right? Like dopamine, like our brain wants dopamine. We want to feel kind of like that pleasure and then that reward that goes along with it. So that is one of the primary neurotransmitters, primary chemical messengers that is responsible for that feeling of motivation, as I described, that calm and focused, actionable energy. Okay. There's several other neurotransmitters and chemical messengers that I think of when I think of that feeling of calm, focused, actionable energy, GABA being one of them. We're not going to dive into that one today. But when I think of this, there's multiple different factors that kind of come into play when it comes to achieving that state and achieving that feeling. Dopamine, GABA, serotonin, You know, if we're talking about focus, there's norepinephrine, there's all of these different chemical messengers, and they all really, you know, the process of increasing them and really being able to have more available or have the function working properly in order for you to be able to experience that feeling and snap into that state more often is really the same. Okay. So the next thing that we're going to talk about when it comes to motivation is cortisol. Okay. So this is a hormone. It's considered our stress hormone. Again, you've probably heard of cortisol. I think it's a pretty well-known term and thing that we know that we have going on in our body. And one of the really cool things about cortisol, so cortisol, not all cortisol is bad. We want to have a really healthy cortisol curve in throughout our day where our body is going to be releasing an amount of cortisol, a certain amount of cortisol at certain times of the day. And that kind of like gets us up, gets us motivated, gets us going. And then our cortisol levels are going to typically fall later in the day so that we are more calm and relaxed and can go to sleep, right? So if we have a healthy cortisol curve, we're going to have healthy energy levels and healthy motivation throughout the day. One of the things with regards specifically to motivation with cortisol is a small release of cortisol is going to increase motivation right out the gate. You're going to have more motivation right when you have that little bit of cortisol release, that little bit of stressor. You're going to have an increase in dopamine and focus and paying attention. And really, like, that's your body's way of, because what cortisol is it is our fight or flight hormone, essentially. It's our stress response. So when a stressor is introduced, our body has this mechanism that basically makes our senses get sharper so that we can show up and, you know, deal with the problem at hand, deal with the stressor, run from the bear, you know, whatever the situation is, and be able to do that in a short-term time frame. One of the problems with modern day life and living and being a mom or just doing all of the things that you do is that you have all of these little mini stressors, right? Introduced, whether it's notifications on your phone or it's a child needing something constantly, or it is, you know, thinking about the stressors that are going on in relationships or finances or the world or being on social media or whatever. There's all of these little stressors that are being introduced throughout your day, and your body really can't tell the difference that, like, oh, you seeing someone post something on social media that was upsetting to you isn't a real threat in your life. Your body doesn't know the difference, and it releases that little bit of cortisol that, you know, is really designed to be helpful for you to increase your motivation, increase your focus, increase your ability to deal with that threat. Your body doesn't know the difference. So you have, most of us have this happening where our cortisol levels get out of balance. And one of the things that can really happen when we have elevated cortisol, typically what you see when you have elevated cortisol is a lower level of dopamine. So lower level of dopamine is going to result in higher levels of cortisol, right? So your body is essentially going to try and compensate to, you know, give you the bursts of energy that you need in order to show up and do the thing. So when you have those lower levels of dopamine, and again, this can happen because you have higher levels of cortisol or for other reasons, you know, that one can affect the other or vice versa. But when you have those lower levels of dopamine, the body is going to naturally increase the production of cortisol, right? So cortisol is kind of like that backup energy. And it's going to give us the additional boost of, you know, brain and focus and all of the things in order to be able to do the things when we don't have the dopamine, which is the neurotransmitter that we really do want more of in order to have that feeling, the focus, the senses heightened, really be able to show up and do the things. Okay. So when you're having that elevated cortisol level, it's going to, you know, cause your dopamine to not function properly, which is then going to cause your body to release more cortisol. Okay. So it's like this whole cycle that can end up happening. And I think a lot of us probably have been or are in this place where we know exactly what that feels like, right? So when you have that elevated cortisol, and that's kind of really what your body is running off of, is the stress hormone instead of a healthy stress hormone curve and healthy dopamine levels. It just affects all of these different areas, right? So you're feeling more jittery, you're feeling having a harder time sleeping, you are, you know, noticing that, you know, it's affecting different areas, like whether it be your metabolism, your hunger, your cravings, your mood, your overall energy, all of these things. That can definitely be something that, you know, is attributed to having these two things out of balance, okay? So I want to talk with you about three things that will lower dopamine and increase cortisol. So just separate from the fact of just stress in general is going to have you, if you're being exposed to stress, that's going to be something that's going to increase cortisol. But what are some other things? Okay. So number one is poor sleep. So poor sleep is going to affect your dopamine level, no matter if you are noticing that, you know, if we separate dopamine and cortisol completely away from each other, not getting enough sleep is going to affect your dopamine levels and your ability to produce and your body to actually properly communicate dopamine through all of those communication pathways. Okay. So sleep is a major factor. Sleep is also a major factor when it comes to cortisol, right? And cortisol is a major factor when it comes to sleep. So elevated or dysregulated cortisol levels can affect our ability to fall asleep and stay asleep. And so it's, again, this cycle, and all of these things are kind of intertwined and they all affect each other and can end up, you know, making the root problem worse off if it's not addressed, right? So poor sleep affects dopamine, and then it also is going to affect cortisol, and cortisol is going to affect, you know, dopamine. So you're, all of these things are intertwined. Another thing that is going to majorly impact your dopamine levels and your cortisol, again, is stress. So whether this is chronic stress, acute stress, a combination of the two, if you just have, it's good stress, bad stress, you know, stress is stress, and it can be stress around you, emotional stress, financial stress, nutritional stress. There's all of these different types of stresses, and you can handle a certain amount. Your body can process a certain amount. But there typically comes a tipping point where, unless you are, you know, really implementing some strategies into your life to help deal with the stress that you're trying to process and all of the things that you have coming at you, at some point it is going to have a detrimental effect on your body and all of these different systems. So lowering dopamine and increasing cortisol. So that's something that you want to pay attention to. And the third thing that really has an effect on each of these two things, on cortisol and on dopamine, is your diet. So if you are eating a more pro-inflammatory diet, this is things like processed foods, a diet that's higher in sugars, a diet that's lower in protein, right? We really need a healthy, you know, good quality protein in our diet for proper neurotransmitter production and communication. It's really, really super important. Or low in fiber, right? Because for good, diverse, healthy gut flora, a good gut microbiome, we need that fiber, and we need lower in sugar. We need less processed foods, right? Less of these kind of like gut damaging foods. So more of like an anti-inflammatory diet. So this is whole foods, you know, good sources of animal protein, fiber, greens, you know, just sensible, right? Sensible nutrition is going to make a really big difference in your motivation. But if you're eating a more pro-inflammatory diet and you're either eating on the go more, so things are processed, you're less mindful, you're not getting in enough protein, right? You could be eating healthy, quote unquote, and eating fruits and vegetables and things like that, but you're not getting in enough protein for really what you're asking of your body, that can be a major problem. And then if you are not getting in enough fiber. Okay, so we covered a lot on this episode, and I am going to stop right here before we dive into the third part of this series. And I just really want to encourage you to, you know, think about these types of things. Okay, think about, again, dopamine. What is dopamine? How does it feel? You know, how does that feel in your body, right? You're wanting that feeling of pleasure and really the motivation, the cognitive function, all of those kinds of things. And then thinking about cortisol and how does that show up? What stressors do you have? Do you feel like you process stress in a healthy way, you know, and you're able to deal with everything throughout the day that comes at you with a calm mind. And you're able to kind of like set the work or the problems or the worries down in the evening and lay your head on the pillow and go to sleep and get good quality sleep and hop up out of bed the next day, you know, ready to attack life again. Or are things a little off, you know, and you're feeling a little more frazzled or you're having a little more trouble with your sleep, and kind of think through some of those things and then evaluate those three areas that we talked about, like evaluate your sleep, evaluate your stress, and evaluate what types of things that you are putting into your body and how those could be having an effect. All right. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode today. If we are not already connected on social media, I would love to hang out with you on Instagram. You can find me at the Cassie Woods. And yeah, if you enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear from you. Either, you know, send me a DM, let me know what was most interesting to you. And then as always, if you enjoyed this episode and you wanted to leave a review, they're always appreciated. And I cannot wait to chat with you again.